So I've been getting this request from many angles, from primarily alumni, but also students here. I'm going to try to address it, but I feel that whatever I'm going to say won't do it justice. I want us to discuss a little bit about dating for a person who is a chozer b'tshuva or did giyu. There are challenges that repeat themselves, and I'm going to say things which I'm basically repeating myself. We have classes online. We've addressed these topics, and what I'm finding is that people need to hear the same thing again and again, and maybe with more examples. Because people are time and again being faced with the same challenges. We can all say you're not marrying a girl simply for her beauty. You're going to build something together, and that's very important. But at the end of the day, people are accustomed to a certain type of relationship in which a girl's beauty plays a large role in the relationship. No one's denying that looks are important. The halacha says that you're not allowed to marry a girl unless you've seen her, unless she has some kind of blemish that bothers you, and then it's going to be more difficult in the marriage. The fact that after marriage people change, people gain teeth and lose teeth. They don't gain so many teeth, but they do lose them. People gain weight and lose weight. People gain hair and lose hair. Usually more of the latter as opposed to the former. Okay, that's par for the course. But at least we're supposed to enter it we're supposed to enter it having seen and being comfortable with what we're seeing. That being said, marriage is hopefully a one-time event in your life. And the person you're marrying is someone you're going to be with for life. And you're going to build all of your dreams and all of your home and your Judaism and your children with that.
Where should it be addressed?
What? There's it. Machon Meir. Yeah? So you have to make sure you're headed in the right direction. I got a phone call the other day. Girl says she wants to date a guy from Machon Meir. Okay, and who are you? I'm a very religious girl in this school. And what type of guy are you looking for? A very, very religious guy from Machon Meir. Okay, and what's your history? Well, a year ago I was in Japan. What were you doing in Japan? Studying Chinese religion. Why are we studying Chinese religion? Because that was the religion I was in. Ah, okay. And where were you in high school? Ah, then I was a Catholic. Ah, and what happened in between? Well, then there were other religions I was exploring. Ah, okay. But Rabbi, why are you quiet? I'm looking for a guy. True story. I mean, I don't remember all the details, but more or less, a girl of 41 who had traveled the religions and was in Judaism for under a year was already looking to get married to a guy who was a very sincere Jew. I don't question her giyul, that's not my job. but at the end of the day, I didn't set any one of you up with her. I didn't think I would be doing you or her a favor. We hear these examples about someone else, and they sound funny. But then the question is, oh, what about us? So a person has to look at himself and ask, how long have I been consistent as to who I am? How long have I been consistent in my level of performance? People sometimes say, you know, I look at my life and it's a consistent graph. We once had a guy who came, was learning Torah, and decided he was stopping to keep Shabbat. He spent a year and a half stopping to keep Shabbat. And then he started keeping Shabbat again. And he comes to me and he says, Rabbi, I've been keeping Shabbat for 2 months now. And I say, Mazel Tov. And he says, could you set me up? and I say, do you know if you're going to want to keep Shabbat? And he says, of course. And I say, how many Shabbatot have you kept? So he says, well, I made a decision to keep Shabbat 2 months ago, and I kept 5 Shabbatot so far. So I say, that's very, very good. That's excellent. You know, there are ups and downs, and it's hard. But don't you think you have to be a little bit more set in the path before you start dating? And he said, you know, Rabbi, when I look back at my life, I see one straight line on the graph. Well, I wouldn't say a straight line, but a consistent line in one direction. So I never figured out what that meant. So he said to me, I feel like everything I went through in the last few years has led me to this moment. I am where I am today as a product of everything I was. So I could understand that to some extent. But it also revealed to me how sharp this point is, that really people, when they look at themselves, very often can say, I've been consistent. The same guy who kept Shabbat for a few years, stopped keeping Shabbat for quite a period of time, has not been able to consistently keep Shabbat for 2 months, feels that he's been on a consistent path throughout his life. True story, guys. I mean, I don't remember the exact details, but it's close to being exact. That's why this time I want to give a little bit of a formula. People say, you know, I'm a work in progress. I'm in the process of growing. That's great. But you have to be somewhere. Who are you? You have to be somewhere when you're dating. And your level of observance has to have a certain element of consistency. So a guy says, well, you know, this week I woke up on time. Last week I didn't. I'm not talking about that, those nuances. I'm talking about the big things when it comes to the level of consistency. It's very normal that you want to get married. If you don't want to get normal, then you have a problem. God created us that men, after they reach a certain age, 12, 13, they want to be with someone of the opposite gender. It's normal. And I don't only mean in a physical sense, also in an emotional sense. We provide for one another what we both need emotionally. But at the end of the day, we're talking about marriage as something that we want for life. Something that'll work. It's not easy for me. Anytime I recommend for a guy to wait a half a year before he starts dating, I feel terrible about it because I know it's a huge challenge. I know that guys are coming from a background where they were not celibate and they were with people of the opposite gender all the time. And here you're in Mechon Meir That's a little bit of an abnormal setting. It's like walking into a bubble, and it's not easy. But at the same time, when we want to build a home that's going to be long-lasting for life, we have to be prepared to really do that. Good things come to those who wait. So we have to really sit down and think about. Where are we? Has the pendulum stopped swinging? We hope that life will be continued growth. But at the same time, there has to be a certain consistency that's been there for quite a while. I recommend that people have a rabbi that they talk to who knows them and thinks with them. I think that when you're dating, you have to be fair with the girl you're dating about how much of what you describe about yourself is aspirations. And how much of it have you accomplished already? A guy that says, you know, I learned 20 hours a day and he just came to Mechon Meir 2 days ago, that's not so fair. We all have our good days and our bad days. We have to pause and try to identify who are we. And that's much harder for you guys. You've changed your courses in life. Even if you've been on a course that led you to Mechon Meir, undoubtedly Mechon Meir is different than what's been beforehand. And that's why I recommend take your time. There's no rush. I know that you feel like there's a rush, and that's good. That's normal. But at the end of the day, you want it to work. I don't gauge based on when you did your giur. Because some people have been in a giur process for 5 years. So they've been very consistent for the last 3 years. So they might be ready to date the day after their gir, whereas someone else who was born Jewish and only did tshuva 5 months ago, I'd recommend take some time. Take a deep breath and see where you're really holding. I don't think the gauge is a specific moment. I think the gauge is a level of consistency and balance. You have to come into it out of balance. And you have to figure out what are your priorities. What happens when the halacha comes in contradiction with what you want in a major way, like within your livelihood, your parnasa? How much are you going to compromise in each direction? This isn't a class about ideals. This is a class about practicum. And dating, when you're talking to the girl, you have to be real. Now, don't show up to the date and start telling her all of your faults. Don't show up to the date and think, I'll be real. I'll tell her that I'm still, I have this weakness and that weakness, and there's this I'm working on, that I'm working on. It's not what we're talking about. But you should have a picture for yourself of where you're holding. And then, in the dates, you have to bring that up. Meaning, if you know, for example, we had a guy here who went into computers, building websites. And he decided that he is not touching any website that has immodest pictures of women. And he decided that his definition of modest and immodest is in accordance with what the halacha expects of a Jewish woman to dress. You understand that he had no work after about a half a year or a year and a half. At some point he had no work. He had a family to feed, and he wasn't budging. So he found a new line of work. Pretty impressive guy. But you need the right wife for those kinds of principles. You know, when a guy doesn't have work and his wife says, honey, you know, our savings are dwindling, you want a wife that's going to stand by you on that type of decision. And there are many decisions like that. You have to try and envisage, and you have to hear from your friends and talk to your married friends and to the guys who have passed Machon Meir, and start picking up real examples that people face in life. And think about how you expect of yourself to react there, what's realistic for today, and where you'd like to be. Those are two different questions. And on the dates, what I'd like to see happening is that you're talking about stories. I don't need you to talk about ideals. Torah is the most important thing, and life is about doing what's right. And I don't care. You know, we all say the same lines. Great. The question is, what's going to happen in real life when these things come up? And you have to make sure that you're marrying someone with similar priorities. That your point number one is priorities. Point number two is how do we make a decision? Meaning, so sometimes, well, it's a question of priorities. But sometimes it's a question of how do we verify what the Torah really says? You know, a guy comes home, tells his wife, "Now I just learned that there are bugs in lettuce, and you know, bugs aren't kosher, so we have to stop eating lettuce." So his wife says to him, "Honey, I always ate lettuce, and we always made salad with lettuce, and my family's always been eating lettuce. They're good Orthodox Jews. You go find the rabbi that says lettuce is kosher, and the bugs in lettuce are kosher." You can understand that this is a real life scenario. I'm not saying it ever happened, but you understand people have different approaches, and. Just because right now you aren't aware of these issues coming up, what's going to be when you come home and suddenly you learn that the wigs that are being sold throughout the country were used possibly for idol worship in India, and you have to burn it. So I'm not saying that's the case, but there was a time when many people thought that was where things were headed. The question is, what happens then? Do you say, "Let me take it easy, you know, I'm doing other mitzvot, I'm not going to worry about that right now"? Or do you say, "Wait a second, if I got to burn it, that's going to burn"? And what you say is the question. Toda rabah. We should have. Toda rabah. Baruch atah bevoecha. Ta muzman lashev leitztaref. Toda תודה רבה. תודה רבה. So, the questions are questions which life will present you. You can't know in advance what questions life will present you with. There was a couple who discovered that the fetus that the wife was carrying had all kinds of problems. The child would come out severely, severely retarded, with all kinds of problems. Now, we don't wish that on anyone, but no one knows what God has in store for them. And then the conversation began, do we abort or don't we abort? So one of the spouses said, hey, wait a second, what does the halacha say? And the other spouse said, hey, wait a second, do you understand what life a parent and a child has with these type of disabilities? And the other spouse says, but wait a second, how do we make decisions in life? Our decision is just about what's easy and what's hard? Or is our decision what the halacha says? Well, that question should have been asked when they were dating. That question is not something they should face when they're faced with life's challenges.
That's a
tough question.
How does one approach that?
I don't understand the question. How do you approach that? I don't think you have to give this example. I think that it's a question you have to explore about yourself. Where are you holding? Where would you like to be headed? Meaning sometimes a person's going to say, where I'm holding now, I'm not ready to hear what the halacha has to say. I had guys who were dating, and then they call me up and they want to think together about whether this works or doesn't work. And at some point, I've had this conversation many times, I tell the guy, look, I don't hear a formula in the way you make decisions in your life. He said to me, you're right, I don't have a set formula. Sometimes I'll go with Allah, and sometimes if Allah is too hard for me, I won't. So I said, okay, and how do you expect to find a match? Someone who's going to have the same gauge as you? I don't know how you do that, but people do that. You know, there are a lot of couples out there that work the same formula of, when it's convenient, I go with Allah, and when it isn't, I don't. Is that correct halachically? No. But we're not talking about what's correct halachically. We're talking about what's going to work in marriage. Meaning, this isn't the class about ideally, this is what the Torah wants you to do. This is the class about, I want your marriages to work. And I have to be realistic about where are you holding, where, and where's the girl holding. Yeah? That's, and
are you basically looking for somebody whose disagreements you can live with?
I would say you're looking for someone who has the same formula as you for figuring out what course of action they're going to take. And this is a very, very key point, which for some reason people keep missing. I mean, this is a point that I keep saying on the phone. I'm like a broken record player. For a few months now, I keep getting phone calls from alumni and guys here. This is a very key point. What is the formula? How do you decide what course of action you're going to take? And this is not identical to the question of what are your priorities. You could fit it into that question, but it's really a different question. So some people suggest, you know, I'll have a rabbi and he'll tell me what to do always. It doesn't work that way. It's good to have a rabbi that you both are comfortable with. And then when there'll be halachic questions, you don't have to go shopping and say, well, this rabbi says this and that rabbi says that. No, it doesn't work that way. It's good to have one rabbi you're both comfortable with. But a rabbi isn't your arbitrator. You have to have most issues resolved without asking your rabbi. Then you'll have the questions where you know there are multiple opinions in the halacha, and you'll and then it's good to have one rabbi who you know you go by. That way, you're not left shopping. One of the challenges is that a person is in flux to a certain degree, more so when he's in a gear or chozer b'tshuva. Because he's made a leap, you know. He isn't continuing down a beaten path that he's been on. Wait. That's did everyone get?
No.
Okay. So give whoever didn't get. I know. I forgot to tell you. Go ahead.
Anyone who prefers just plain name. Cheese. Okay, if someone wants peppers,
But one slice per person, you'll see there's still more people coming, and there are people upstairs who get. So, on the one hand, you can't know where you're going to go. But you need to know where you'd like to go. You're getting married the way you are now. But you need someone who's going to be accepting where you'd like to go. Sometimes there are girls who are religious, who come from Orthodox homes, that will not be accepting if you end up wanting to be more religious than their home is. They'll be accepting if you're less religious, but they won't be accepting if you're more religious. Don't be fooled by the fact that she comes from an Orthodox home. Hear, listen, talk. You need a girl that's going to be accepting of the direction you'd like to go, but a girl that fits for you where you are now. She's marrying you as is. Whether you will succeed in continuing to grow or not is a question. This is where you are today. At the same time, we hope you will succeed in growing, and you need a girl that's going to go with that. People tend to become very weird when they're dating. I use the word weird, and I mean weird. Suddenly, people who are very logical are talking to me about all kinds of signs. Everyone has a sign why this girl is Mrs. Right. Everyone. For this guy, it's because they kept bumping into one another. For that guy, it's because the shidduch came from five different places. You know, my aunt called with the same idea that my sister called it. I don't buy these signs. Guys, you got to be realistic. Be logical. Leave the signs for after you're engaged. After you're engaged, you could tell everyone we had all these signs. I have no problem. But the decision has to be concrete down here on earth. Either it makes sense or it doesn't. These are short points that have been coming up repeatedly over the last few months. So I wanted to address them. There's much, much more. Where, you know, we added dating series. It's all online on torahforme.org. But these are points that I felt maybe have to be restated, and with more concrete examples. I hope that with the examples they're clear. At the end of the day, you know, I'm a fan of many dates. Just be careful with yichud. Don't go off into the woods together. Stay in places where nothing can happen. Be realistic. Every person is human, and a person has to avoid tests. So don't put yourself in a situation where you'll be tested. But do date and do take time. Every person who did tshuva or a person who did giyul has a lot more within them, a lot more color, if we'll call it that, than someone who's just continuing the way they've been brought up. You know, if two people grew up in Mea Shearim, their parents spoke the same Yiddish as they speak. They went to the same schools. He went to the same schools her brothers went to. She went to the same schools his sisters went to. They're all towing the same line. You can understand that 85% of the conversation has been covered already. Everyone knows what the norms are. So there's very little that has to be verified. They could date 6 dates, 3 dates, 5 dates, 8 dates, whatever their norm is. And it's within reason. A person who's coming from a totally different world, or even a person who's within the Dati Lumi world, and today even the Haredi world, where there are so many norms, and there's so much potential. Add to that a person who did tshuva or did giyur, who for sure has many, many more norms than other people. There's a lot to talk about. And there's no rush. There's nothing wrong with dating a girl 40, 50 times before deciding. Don't be pressured by the big numbers. You could date a girl 40 times and then say, this isn't it. I'm sorry, this isn't going to work. Listen to the dating classes, how to do it gently and nicely. You're not looking to kill the girl. You're looking to give her strength to continue onward. But at the end of the day, the fact that you dated 40 dates doesn't mean you have to marry the girl. It just means that you've dated 40 dates, and now if it fits, it fits, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. I recommend you speak to people who have your best interest at heart, and remember that at the end of the day, the decision is yours, and only you will live with the consequences. Everyone can give advice from the side. At the end of the day, you're the one getting married. You have to decide whether the advice is worth listening to or not. Again, don't go with EGBG. I don't care who the rabbi is that gave you advice. Listen to it. If you understand it and it makes sense, fine. If you don't understand it, question it. don't come and say, well, he told me it's a good idea. Well, okay, right, but it's your life and it's your decision. we live in a day and age where people are trying to stay away from responsibility. So a lot of people will wait until they hear of someone who could tell them the numeric value of his name and her name and hold aside whether they should get married. Everyone laughs when I say it, but I say it every year, and every year I get such phone calls. And then I'm the heretic, because he said so and he knows numbers, and you're asking silly questions. So I'm going to say it again, and I don't know how to get the point across more than this. Guys, it's your life and your decision. You can't do it based on numbers. I've been at weddings and divorces that came from marriages based on numbers. There are people who have a reputation for having all kinds of strengths and the ability to tell you based on the numeric value of your name and her name whether you two should get married. I don't know of anywhere in the Torah that says you're supposed to believe that. I'm unfamiliar with a source for that. You want to believe it, you could believe it, but you could also draw lots from a hat and decide. But don't blame him. It's your life. I wouldn't say it's avodah zarah. I'm not saying it's a lie. I'm not saying it's the truth. I'm saying I wouldn't make a decision based on that, and I would not do that.
Then that same thing as to read like coffee mugs and tea leaves and all this.
It's a much bigger discussion. I don't want to go into that. I'm just saying you have to remember that at the end of the day, it's you who's getting married. It's your mitzvah to get married, and it's your avera to get divorced. And you have to do it smartly in a way that has potential for working. Don't forget to talk about the chinuch of your kids. Marriage is not only about you, it's also about how you're going to bring up your kids. And again, go around, talk to people, hear stories. When I was dating, I used to try and eat Shabbos meals by young couples who had kids. And I'd ask them, what chinuch issues do you think I should bring up? What examples, what stories should I bring up on the dates? Talk to people. You know, I should not be your sole source for dating information. There are a lot of young couples that you could go to, or old couples that you could go to. Talk to people. You don't have to buy what anyone says, me included. But when you hear a lot of people, then you get ideas. And daven. At the end of the day, many people make mistakes in many areas of life. We don't want this to be one of them. So daven, we need Hashem's help. Tov, I wish you best of luck.